It's time for the most well-known sports radio icon in St. Louis. The show that begs you to answer the question, can I ever be this good? It's time for the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Charlie Tuna Show. Oh, yeah. How you doing there? Mm-hmm. It's cold weather. I like cold weather, snow and ice, but I'm ready for some fun in the sun. I need a tan.
Tan?
I do tan. I roll over tan.
I mean, I could use a tan. I don't know about you, Charlie.
I get so black in the summertime, I'm blue. They call me blue.
My family makes fun of me, say I turn yellow in the winter.
Do you?
Really? Yeah, I turn a little yellow.
You get lighter.
Yeah, I get a lot lighter.
He's got liver disease. Yeah. Maybe it is because all that drinking you do.
It could be.
do you tan?
Oh, yeah. I got that Mediterranean.
So you're not Uncle Tom when you're coming here in the summertime?
No. I'll show you my tan lines next summer.
He's a tan white man. Call him Tomas. Folks, we have a good show lined up as always on Wednesday night.
The fun night.
Howard Balls, yes, fun night, that's right. This is our, what do we call it, fraternity night.
Yes, Animal House.
Animal House tonight. Of course, Kunzo Martin is the new men's basketball coach of Mizzou. I said last week, why would he come to Mizzou unless they paid him a bunch of money? He gets a contract of 7 years, reportedly worth $21 million, which makes him the highest paid coach in Mizzou history. In their history. That's right.
In the history.
In the history of the Mizzou Tigers. Well, they only have had a few. Yeah. So, finally, they got the athletic director, Shirk. They went out, when they got Jim Stirk, they went out and got somebody that had no Mizzou ties. And that was good. He didn't go looking for some Norm Stewart guy and all this crap. Go out and go west, young man. That's what he did.
That was the problem they had with Kim Anderson.
Plus, really, Kunzo Martin is closer to East St. Louis now being in Mizzou than he would have been in Illinois.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that. Only a couple hours away down Interstate 70.
But Maurice Scott is on, too, later tonight.
I know he has some info.
We got to ask him,
and he's spoken to Kunzo twice today. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to him.
Okay.
So we got a call on home. Yes. Go ahead, John.
How you guys doing tonight, by the way?
Oh, we're talking
pretty good.
Okay, well, I'll talk to the tan one first there.
Thanks.
Hey, I was hearing some comments on the 4 o'clock show. Some guys were always, or I think it was 5 o'clock. He was always, on this show, he was always already predicting, like, well, if Kunzo Martin only makes it for 2 years, that'll be enough for the Missouri to get some fame or something. I mean, all the haters already coming out. They were saying, well, if he only makes it for 2-3 years, that'll be good. That'll be better than Kim Anderson 3 years. I mean, I don't stand the logic around these people here. You know, I mean, they should – I mean, your people on your own show should – I'm not saying they should be pom-pom supporters, but, you know, for them to just be starting to make a comment that, you know, well, if he makes it for 3 years and he gets these Parker, you know, kids in there because, you know, from the college, you know, the superstar players that he was talking about. I mean, you know, they were already, like, making it so negative. I mean, it's the Missouri situation. I don't know why anybody would want to take that job. It's so negative. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, all the – and by the way, did was it the Norm Stewart – did they have to get the Norm Stewart blessing to hire Kunzo, or was that already done by this new associate – I mean, new AD? And how long is he going to stay there? Is he going to bail out in 2 years? Thanks a lot, guys. Good show. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that was quick. John was just right on it.
Somebody upset him today.
I don't think Norm's got as much stroke as he used to have down there in Columbia.
No stroke.
He
used to have a backstroke, now no stroke.
And so there was no blessing of Norm Stewart for
Thank goodness.
I don't think there was a blessing for Frank Haith. I don't think there was a blessing for Kim Anderson. I mean, there was for Kim Anderson, but there wasn't for Haith. So it's kind of fluctuated because Anderson was one of Norm's boys back in the day. I think they've gotten away from that now, and you're starting a new regime. 3 years, you've got to give him at least the 4 years so he can get his recruits in here and see what's going, see who he's got.
He's got a guaranteed contract for seven years.
7 years, yeah. He's not going anywhere.
So you can fire him after 3 if you want to.
He's still going to get money.
And he's not going to go anywhere, I don't believe. He might. There might be an out.
Well, he's got to buy our clothes. He's got to pay the University of Cal $1 million, 1.1.
What now? He hasn't even coached a game yet for the University of Missouri. But what would be the lure away from Mizzou? What kind of coaching job, other than a Duke or North Carolina or Kansas, of course, where would he go? Is this his final destination?
Probably not.
No, because it's the SEC, I would say.
You never know. But yeah. SEC's
It's on its way up, but
right.
But they've got a tremendous TV network.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of your lure, because part of his paycheck, well, people fail to remember, is coming from the network.
And it's just not the $3 million a year mm-hmm. that he's getting. There's a lot of perks. We talked about this off the air. A lot of other stuff around Columbia,
houses,
Missouri.
Houses, and show, clothes,
planes,
everything.
That are at his disposal. So there's a lot of things, the perks.
But save it all, folks. We'll talk to Maurice Scott.
I'm sure he knows.
Around the 9:40, 9:35 moment. And he's spoken to Conzo. Now, we had Conzo on when he got the Tennessee job. We had him on when he got the Cal job. And we'll have him on probably next week. And, of course, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure he also talked about the climate in Mizzou. I'm sure he called Coach Mike Anderson and found out mm-hmm. what was going on. How did he feel about Mizzou?
Silly if he didn't.
He's got to
dip his toe in the water and see what was going on down there and
but
what
I
his
said,
feelings were.
Money was going to make him do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It had to be.
Money was going to make him do it.
It's always the motivator, Charlie, for everything.
Yep. Speaking of high school game, Evansville loses a tough game to Chicago Simeon, but you know, when you play those kind of teams, it's almost like a semi-college team. All right, without ado, we're going to go to my first guest tonight. He's on with us every Wednesday night. This portion of the show is brought to you by Weber Chevrolet, WeberChevrolet.com. Howard Balls. Hello, Howard.
Tuna, good evening, Tom. How are you doing?
Hey, Howard, how are you?
Very good.
Good.
As always, very good.
You sound great.
Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, Ezekiel Elliott.
Ooh.
Now, I saw the clip several times a day, and supposedly the young lady said she gave him permission to do that, but it sure in the hell didn't look like that.
And you know, the thing is sometimes, you know, we're talking about, you know, this would be like if it was Mardi Gras or something like that. And, you know, crazy stuff happens. And whether she did or not, it's just not a good look. And that's the thing about it. And it, you know, it's tough for young guys. It's tough for athletes because sometimes they just forget that.
Well, hold on a minute. Some people out there listening may not have heard everything that happened. Ezekiel Elliott was at I don't know where he was at. And he pulled a young lady's top down. St. Patrick's Day to expose her breasts. And then later she pulled the whole top down herself. But go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, so, I mean, that these guys have to realize and know pretty much nowadays that every move you make, you know, everything you do is being chronicled and watched and taken photos of and on the internet and social media and everywhere. And so that's the one reality. You know, the other reality is, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is still under investigation for the incident last summer, which to me is kind of absurd that the NFL hasn't done something on it yet. I mean, it's been quite a while, and yet they just let it linger and linger and linger. But, you know, the NFL operates at its own decided speed. But, I mean, you know, I think most people look at it and say, okay, come on, big, you know, it's 2017, but it not everybody thinks that. And so, like I said, these guys have to realize that everybody is not everybody, but people are watching everything you do. But you know what? You're on I think it was on a float in the St. Patrick's Day parade. And I'm sure there probably was a little bit of adult beverages involved. And when that happens, well, we all know that you're not total, you know, you do things you might not do, and you're not thinking totally clearly, and you're not thinking of ramifications and consequences. And so that's essentially what we have there.
Well, now they also showed a clip of Gronkowski.
Right.
Did you see that mm-hmm. clip?
I haven't seen that particular clip, but I have seen some of the discussion.
Yep.
Is that, you know,
you gotta see that clip.
What's that?
But that clip was consensual.
Central, yes. Yeah. He puts his face into a woman's chest.
Yeah, into a breast right. area, and it slid all up and down.
What was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, Gronkowski gave a jersey away as a parting gift to a porn star that he had relations with?
Yeah, but this was right. some moment, yeah. but we didn't see anything like that.
No, I understand. Just, we I saw understand.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, yeah, I had heard about that. And so there are those saying, hey, how come there isn't the reaction to him that there is to, you know, to Zeke? And so I agree that they both should be the same. And you know what it reminds me of? Some thought, remember Charlie, and I don't know, maybe Tom, you remember, this was way, way back in maybe the late 90s. And there were two Rams players. I hate to mention their names because I'm pretty sure I remember who they were, but I don't want to say the wrong names if it was wrong. But there were two Rams players that were at some kind of event, and a younger girl asked for an autograph and asked the two players to sign her breasts. Mm-hmm. You remember that, Charlie?
I remember hearing yep. about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it. And so the word got out a little bit, but it wasn't common knowledge. And obviously it was something maybe in retrospect you shouldn't have done. But can you imagine if that's 20 years ago now, approximately. Right. Can you imagine if someone had, if there were camera phones then and all that, and if goodness. That had been put out there on social media with pictures of it happening? Can we imagine what the reaction
But that was consensual.
I did as much the same thing one night in Tampa with some Blues players. And they pushed me off as at the time I was a little skinnier back in the early 90s.
Who did they push you off as?
They pushed me off as a minor league
the
baseball
town
player.
Boy?
And me and some of the St. Louis Blues were signing some ladies' upper body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on. It probably went on before the 90s, in the 80s, in the 70s.
Has it ever happened to you, Howard?
that has not. I have to admit that of all the things that have happened in my life, I've never signed a woman's.
But
you know what happens to me? You know what has happened to me over the years? I've had at least 10 women to go into the ladies' room and bring back a hem of their panties balled up. I'm serious. Charlie, I'm not kidding. But it was consensual.
You are.
Right. Well, and,
that's
and
when I was younger is. Now, younger days.
Last week?
When I was a stud hoss.
As I recall, the one with the Rams players, while it was, like you said, consensual, it was also a girl that was underage.
Mm.
And so, as I recall, like a teenager, maybe 17, 18, something like that. So those are all the different, you know, and I'm not judging or anything like that. Right. I'm just saying how different it is today. And there's always been scrutiny. There's always been a microscope on these guys, but never more than it is now. And you have to be mindful of that.
What about, you know, let's say that's somebody's daughter, and a father sees that with his daughter. I've got to say, this the father's got to be really, really upset at Ezekiel Elliott.
No question about it. And see, that's the thing that happens sometimes. You know, the woman is okay with it, and then if dad does find out, he says, well, yeah, no, I didn't agree with that. I didn't say that was okay. And so.
Right.
You know,
what was that TV show that was on for a while where the guys would go out and take nude pictures of girls, and he got finally sued?
Oh,
Girls Gone Wild?
Girls Gone Wild. That's what happened with Girls Gone Wild, Howard.
Yeah. Yeah.
A father sued somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
The Howard, when is it going to come time? And they might have done this. I almost heard that Lawrence Phillips had somebody with him. But when they're going to have like a chaperone with these guys saying, come on, dude, you got to get out of this situation and pull them aside. It would be nothing for Jerry Jones to pay somebody, you know, six figures to walk around with Ezekiel Elliott and to be mindful of what he's doing off the field.
Well, you know what? Jerry Jones did something like that with Dez Bryant.
Uh-huh.
After he was drafted. And so when you know a guy has a pattern of some issues, that he was doing that with Dez. But, you know, maybe it gets to that. You don't – it does speak to, though, is that what you have to be able
right.
to do? And you can't be living with a guy every minute, you know, of every day. And, you know, the player's not going to want that. It just comes down to making the right choices. But like I said, you know, a lot of times you're not thinking clearly, you know, when you're out there and you know, you've had a little bit to drink and you're getting, you know, you're a little, you know, having fun. and you're just not thinking.
You know what, though?
That's not true of just athletes. That's true of anybody.
You know what, though? I've never seen a real man, whether he's been drinking or not, try to pull a lady's top down in public. How would you just don't do that?
No.
Just don't do that.
Says something about him.
He wanted to get into a fight several weeks ago because something happened to his sister in a damn basketball game. How does he feel if his father comes and punches him in the head? You know what I'm talking about, Howard?
No, I know what you're saying, but it also sometimes the venue, you know, if you're at a basketball game or you're here and there, but, you know, and who knows what was going on before that and after that in this, you know, in this parade. You know, like I said, like in Mardi Gras, we see what goes on there. And so,
true.
You know, sometimes those, you know, those environments lead to some of the things that, that occur.
Now, Stephen A. Smith didn't inject it, but the two, what's his co-host on with the show?
Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman and the girl injected that. Well, if Gronk had done that and if he had been a black player, he would have been in trouble. And Stephen A. Smith said no, he wouldn't have
because consent.
Because Ezekiel Elliott, like you said, Howard, is already under watch right now. We don't know what's going to be the outcome now.
No, well, that's exactly right. And Gronk is somewhat under watch. We've always seen that he's a party goer and kind of gets loose and does some wild and crazy things. But he's never been accused of any crime that I'm aware of. And so that's the you're right. That's the big thing with Zeke is that not only has there been this allegation, but he's still under investigation. And so when that is the case and the NFL is considering what to do, something like that, just like I said, it's just not a good look.
Howard, Eddie Lacy signs a free agent contract with the Seattle Seahawks, and there's a stipulation clause in there about weight. Explain it to us.
Well, basically, he's still getting almost $2.7 million guaranteed, including a $1.5 million signing bonus. It's only a one-year deal, but you know he's had issues with his weight before, and so what the Seahawks put in there, and we don't know the specifics of it, but there's a $385,000 bonus that he can for a weight clause. Now we don't know if that means he has to, you know, reach a. I'm sure it means he has to reach a certain weight, but then we don't know if that means he has to maintain that weight for a certain amount of time. Is he going to be weighed all throughout the season? I haven't seen anywhere. Don't know the specifics of it, but the Seahawks are counting. Here's a guy going to get $2.7 million guaranteed, and they're counting on a close to $400,000 weight bonus to be enough to make him committed to being in shape and staying in condition. I think that's a little bit of a risk, but I will give Eddie Lacy this little pass. And that is, I mean, there was the report right before he signed yesterday that in one of his visits, I think he visited three teams, the Seahawks. I think the Jets were one, if I'm not mistaken, and another team. Supposedly he weighed in at around 267. Well, this is a guy that has weighed pretty much around 235 or 240 anyway. So that's not a huge amount of weight. It's a pretty nice number, but it's not huge. But here's the thing where I give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt, is that he underwent ankle surgery, and he ended last season on injured reserve. And so just by nature of that can affect your conditioning. Now, you also could choose not to eat as much or to watch what you're eating when you're not able to be in condition and do a lot of physical stuff. But obviously he's had some issues with that. But that's why he got a one-year contract. I mean, a guy of his ability should probably get more of a contract. But when you have that track record, that's going to limit what you're going to get in the market. And the Seahawks are rolling the dice a little bit. But isn't it amazing, guys, that we're at the point now in the NFL that $2.7 million is not considered that much of a risk?
Isn't that something?
$2.7 million. But that's not considered much of a risk because of the way the money is in this league right now.
A weight incentive contract. Are these the norm, Howard? Do a lot of these players have these sort of things, these clauses in their contracts?
Well, not a lot, but the ones who have had problems with their weight do. And I remember Albert Haynesworth had that when he was with the Redskins. I'm trying to think of some off the top of my head that have had it.
The offensive lineman with the Cowboys had it in his too.
Oh, a long time ago. Nate Newton.
Nate Newton had it as well.
Yeah, he probably had one. So there have been guys, you know, that have had it as an added incentive just to get in shape. Remember the guy the Rams drafted several years ago, Rokivious Watkins?
Right.
I mean, he basically ate himself out of the league. He was a fifth-round pick of the Rams, and he would leave OTAs at a good weight and in good shape, and then promise that he was going to come to training camp in good shape, and he'd be 30, 35 pounds overweight. And he lasted in the league for 2 or 3 years. And the guy had talent. He had ability, but he could never keep himself in shape. And so, but there's not a lot of guys like that, Tom. Mm-hmm. There are some, but it's a relatively small number.
My guest tonight, of course, is Howard Balzer, Mr. Hall of Fame, Mr. NFL. Cleveland Browns, what are they up to, Howard? Besides the number one pick, who are they going to look at, have you heard, in the second round?
Yeah, well, you know, they had 2 first-round picks, mm-hmm. and I think they're going to take Myles Garrett first overall. The question is what they do with the number 12 pick. They got a couple picks in the second round. I think they have 5 picks in the first 65, and so they're going to take a variety of players. I would suspect that if they don't do anything the rest of the offseason at the quarterback position, is that they're going to draft another guy. I would suspect it will be with that 12th pick, and it'll be obviously A, who's available, but B, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're just automatically going to take a guy that's available. It has to be someone that they really like. And I think a great move for them, and I believe he will be there at 12 overall, would be Deshaun Watson. And as long as they're not necessarily feel pressured to play him right away, which is often the case when you draft a guy in the first round. But I think that would be a great fit for him and Hugh Jackson, the head coach. And I think it would be a good place for him to be as they build a team around whoever their quarterback is going to be. But, you know, other positions, I mean, you know, they need some wide receiver help. They need some help in a lot of spots. But they have some pretty good players on that roster. I mean, even though they won only one game last year, there were a bunch of games, as is usually the case, there were a lot of games that they were pretty competitive in, and they've just got to find that quarterback and find a way to win some of those close games that they're involved in.
Boy, Deshaun Watson can sit on the bench and learn a lot from Brock Osweiler, can't he?
Oh my!
Yeah, well, that's going to be a great one, a great tutor. The New England Patriots probably this season didn't go on the cheap, and I'm reading in the sub. I had one of the top agents today tell me, he said, what New England is doing now, they know Tom Brady may be at the end of his career, Howard, and what they're doing, they're trying to win every year they can. They signed Dante Hightower to a 4-year deal worth $43 million and got a guarantee of $19 million. Now, that $43 million, what part of that will count against the cap, Howard?
You know, I haven't seen the breakdown of it yet in terms of how it is, but I would say it's probably going to be a pretty big number, a relatively big number this year, maybe 7 or 8 million. It might be, you know, what is it, 443. It's almost 11 million a year average.
Yeah, he had 7 last year he averaged.
Right. Yeah, so he was, you know, but here's the thing. The Patriots had a lot of cap room, and that was it. And so, and there is a rule in the league that you have to spend to a certain level of cash. And so, you know, basically what they did, if you really look, it was they kept one of their own. And let's remember, they traded away Chandler Jones last year, and they traded away Jamie Collins. So they traded away a couple good players that they didn't want to pay. And so they are still very judicious in how they spread the money around. And they did give the big contract to Stephon Gilmore. And what that tells me is as good as Malcolm Butler has been, is that they're not going to pay him big money. You know, he's a restricted free agent right now. He was visiting New Orleans today, and there very well could be a trade for him. But by signing Gilmore, they've basically said we're more comfortable with him going forward for the next 5 years than keeping Malcolm Butler and then giving him a big contract next year. And so that's what the Patriots do. and that's normally, you know, what they're all about. You know, they gave Gronkowski money, and they've given their top guys, you know, contracts, and that's what they've done again. And, you know, they bring in Brandon Cook,
right,
who's not making a lot of money. You know, they brought in Coney Ealy. He's not making a lot of money. And these are all in trades, and they brought in Dwayne Allen, the tight end from the Colts, and he's not making a lot of money. You know, let's see out of those three guys when their contracts are up in a couple of years, let's see how many of them are still with the New England Patriots when they could go out in the open market. You know, maybe I would guess that all three of them won't be. You know, maybe one of them will, but you know, that's the way the Patriots do business, and why they've been on top of this league so long.
What's going to happen is they'll come in, they'll win, or they'll have a couple winning seasons with the Patriots, these players, and then they'll go out and they'll strike it rich with somebody else and make a big payday.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what a lot of people have done.
Unless you remember, when those guys go out and get a big payday, guess what happens? The Patriots get a compensatory draft.
That's right.
And it adds to their haul. And so, you know, this year, signing Gilmore is going to hurt them in terms of getting a compensatory pick next year. But, you know, all the other picks, all the other acquisitions, you know, Hightower doesn't count because he wasn't from another team, and the trades don't count. Mm-hmm. It's only unrestricted free agents that you sign.
Howard, Tony Romo's next job probably could be in the broadcast booth.
I think that's still a long shot. What I believe is happening, guys, is this, is that I think the team he's going to end up with, this is just a gut feeling on my part, the team he's going to end up with is Houston. And I don't think that Denver is interested, and I think that Houston knows that, and that's why they're not giving up a draft pick. Because the only way you would give up a draft pick is because you want to make sure to get the guy and keep him from going on the open market. And so, because once he's on the open market, if there's multiple teams interested, then all of a sudden, it's going to cost you more, and B, you're going to have to, you might not get him. And so I think with this, the Broncos are the only other team that makes sense. But like I said, I'm not convinced that they're truly interested. Now, maybe when he gets released, it all might change. And who knows, maybe they will go after him. But my gut feeling is they won't, and he's going to end up with Houston. And so the Texans are waiting it out until he gets released. And there's no real urgency now. The urgency begins when we get to around April 1st, and you're about 2 weeks away from OTA, from the off-season program and OTAs and all that. And I'm sure the Texans want their quarterback with them when they begin the off-season program. But that's still a month away, and so there's really not a whole lot of urgency in this for them.
Howard, the Rams' new coach is not ecstatic at all with the Rams quarterback situation. What are they going to do?
Is that what you're hearing?
Well, I heard it from a source very close. You know, I'm involved with the Rams. Very close. I heard that little tidbit. You haven't heard that yet, have you?
I have not heard that. And the thing that – see, the only reason that I wonder about the veracity of that is that if that was truly the case, why would Sean McVay take the job?
Mm-hmm.
When you have this quarterback under contract, you spent the first pick in the draft, you've given up extra draft picks to get him, so you don't have as many picks as you'd like to help build your team. And it doesn't seem that it would make sense for McVay, who's an offensive coach, to take that job if he has serious questions about Goff. Now, he might have a certain amount of doubt.
It's not that he doesn't think. It's not that they don't think he's going to be. They think people still around the league, and I've talked to many scouts, still think that he could be a very quality quarterback if surrounded by an offensive line. But the question comes into play, what's the deal going to happen with Kirk Cousins? That's the Trump card.
Well, it could be, and I wouldn't rule that out, but it would take an awful lot to get him, and it's not going to be this year, I don't believe. It would take an awful lot in money, and well, maybe not draft picks, depending on what would be the status of him after this next season. So, could that be a possibility? Perhaps. But let's remember one thing. I agree with you 100%, Charles. You know, I say this all the time. A quarterback doesn't operate in a vacuum. He has to have the talent around him. I wonder how Kirk Cousins is going to do this year in Cleveland.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, in Washington, without Pierre Garçon and without DeSean Jackson. And I know they signed Terrell Pryor, but, yeah, but is he going to be as successful with not as good receiving core around him? We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, Kirk Cousins will control where he goes also. Let's remember that. If he becomes an unrestricted free agent next year, then he controls where he goes. And would he go to Los Angeles just because Sean McVay's there? He's going to look around and see what he believes gives him the best chance to be successful. And so, the Rams obviously need that help around them. I see Rams fans exulting because they got Robert Woods in free agency, who
they overpaid.
Yeah, they totally overpaid.
Oh, they overpaid
him.
For him.
He's just another. He's another number two, number three guy that they picked up, and that doesn't mean he can't be successful. But he needs a lot of other guys around him, and the Rams don't have that right now.
It's a long way off, but what a weird situation would it be if McVay and Cousins went to the Rams, much like 18 years earlier, 19 years earlier, almost now, when Trent Green and Mike Martz came to the Rams from the Redskins. I know, yeah. But still, it's a weird little story, isn't it? Both from the Redskins, quarterback and an offensive coordinator.
Salary cap has changed a lot.
I know. But still, it's kind of odd.
Yeah,
and Trent Green wasn't proven. At the time, he played decent, but he certainly hadn't played to the level that Cousins has played these last two seasons. The way I look at it, guys, even though I say on one level, I doubt that something like that would happen. You never say never.
Well,
in the NFL,
you never know.
Stuff always happens as surprises.
Have you heard this yet, Howard? Kyle Shanahan is really jockeying, and Kirk Cousins would like to team up with him. What San Francisco trade a pick, or can they do that, trade a pick to Washington to get Kirk Cousins?
Well, they could, but here's the problem right now that the Redskins have. I mean, they have a certain amount of fan unrest there because of everything that's gone on with that organization, losing your top two receivers, the general manager getting fired, and the way the organization threw him under the bus with things they said about him. And so the Redskins right now, they don't have a quarterback. I mean, certainly a deal could be made for Kirk Cousins if the 49ers wanted it, if the 49ers did that, and the Redskins would trade him. But again, what is it going to cost in draft picks? And who's going to be the Redskins' quarterback? I don't think it's going to be Colt McCoy. And so that's their problem. Now, could they draft one? Yeah, they could draft a quarterback, but then they're starting over. And I don't know that that's something that they would find to be a positive right now. Now, next offseason, perhaps. I would think they're going to draft a guy this year anyway, even with Cousins. I mean, let's remember, they drafted Kirk Cousins in the same draft that they drafted Robert Griffin. And so I would think in this draft, they will probably draft somebody at some point. And so then if Cousins isn't there next year, they at least have a guy who's been in the system for a year if they make the right choice.
Howard, you were brought to us by whom?
You know who it is, Charlie and Tom. Weber Chevrolet, WeberChevrolet.com. Three locations in our great area, Columbia and Granite City in Illinois, Creve Coeur at Olive, and 270. Go to the website. WeberChevrolet.com. See all the great deals they have on whatever vehicle you might be looking for. Weber incentives coupled with factory incentives are always going to get you a great deal on new cars. And let's remember, pre-owned, they always have a tremendous selection there of relatively new cars. They might be a year, two, 3 years old, and you can get a great deal on a pre-owned car at Weber Chevrolet. So check it out, Weber Chevrolet. WeberChevrolet.com.
All right, Howard. Thanks very much. Have a great week, and we'll talk next Wednesday.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
All right. Always a plethora of knowledge. Hey, Lorenzo Romar was fired as well today.
Oh, from Washington. Yeah,
I predicted it last Friday, and the coach and Frank said no. They said that he was coming back. I said, don't mean nothing. I said, Lorenzo was out on the market looking for his own job. So it doesn't mean much. That
maybe he'll be U of I.
Never know.
Never know.
U of I, where?
Illinois.
Mm, never know.
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
Now, they did.
Two guys Mizzou, from that area.
Now, according to sources today, too, Mizzou did talk to Tom Crean of Indiana, and he was just standoffish.
Really?
And that's the kind of guy he is. Like, hey, man,
that's why they don't want him at Indiana.
Right. Well, he gets under the people's skin, but he's a good coach.
He is.
So we shall see, but I predicted that would happen. And it
winning cures all.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we recover, we'll be joined by the most anticipated show of the week, Wednesday night, when Maurice Scott comes on. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Crown Candy Kitchen. Folks, if you've never had a BLT from Crown Candy, so good. Tamales, chili, onions, cheese, unbelievable. But my favorite, if you listen to the commercial, they have a special malt named after me. But in the summertime, they have a malt with peaches, and it just cuts chunks of peaches.
Oh,
I mean, it's just
good.
Unbelievable. Crown Candy Kitchen. We'll be right back. Wait a minute. My musical guest tonight is Marvin Gaye.